This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is the Afternoon All Local.
It was just an awesome game for Brandon Aubrey yesterday.
That's right, if you own him in your fantasy.
Beyond that, however, Cowboys go down in flames in their home opener against the Saints. This is the first regular season loss at home for the Cowboys in like 2 years. 44-19 regular season. But it reminded you a lot of that playoff game against the Packers, didn't it? They got down and they got rolled.
Knew it was over in the first quarter.
Miserable performance on both sides of the ball. We're going to get to the offense in a minute. The Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, he's with us in studio right now.
Awesome.
To talk more about this. Let's start with the defense first, because that is just what stands out in this game. What, did Micah Parsons miss the team bus?
It looked like a lot of guys missed the team bus, and it was an issue where it looked very similar to the Green Bay game that you last played at AT&T Stadium, where they could not stop the opponent at all. New Orleans was able to do just about anything they wanted. 6 touchdowns on their first 6 drives, and it was, methodical, or they could hit you for a big play, or they could do things, through the run, the pass, whatever they wanted to do, they were able to do. And that was the concerning thing, is that they were able to just kind of impose their will any way you wanted. And so it definitely kind of gives you pause and makes you wonder which version of this defense is the real one, the one from week one or the one from week two.
And that's the real question. I heard a lot of people say, are the Saints and this offense, are they that good? Or is the defense maybe not nearly what we thought they were?
Yes. Yeah, it could be both, right?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Dallas, I think, absolutely has limitations. We spent all offseason kind of joking about Jerry's all-in comment, and then how it didn't really reflect that in terms of the moves that they made. And so, I don't think when you think about it, it's like, yeah, this maybe shouldn't be a surprise. They lost a lot of depth on defense. They didn't do much to replace that. They were kind of banking on guys returning from injuries and rookies. And you're leaning a lot on Mike Zimmer coming in here and kind of adjusting the scheme. So I think that's part of it, is that the defense is not as talented as it was a year ago. But New Orleans definitely looks to be a much better team than I think we initially had thought. And Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator there, has done a really fantastic job and is implementing a lot of those San Francisco concepts that have really frustrated Dallas.
Let me play devil's advocate for a minute. Here come the Ravens at 0-2.
Oh Lord,
that's next week. Then you get the Giants. That should be a win. Steelers and Lions after that, and then the 49ers. Does Mike McCarthy survive all of that?
Tell me what their record is by the end of it. So if it's 2-5, if you only beat the Giants and then you come out of a bye week where you've had 2 weeks to kind of stew on losses to the Steelers and the Lions, and then you come off of a bye week and on national TV you go into San Francisco again and they just beat the snot out of you, then it would be difficult, I think, to see at that point at 2-5 that they would be content enough to say, yeah, we'll just let him ride this out. I think that change would really start, the call for change would really start coming on. And so I think that, look, they've got to rebound this week against Baltimore. They've got to find a way to start beating some of these NFC opponents, these top-tier NFC opponents like San Francisco, who they've struggled with. If they're able to cobble that together, he'll be fine. But, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him. Everybody else has gotten their deals. Everybody else has been locked in. McCarthy's really the one left who's on a one-year deal and being asked to prove it.
And I know that it's so early in the season, and you hate to use this, but is this kind of a must-win game for the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, so typically when you look at things in terms of how you're playing teams, the most inconsequential opponent you can have is an AFC opponent, because it has the least effect on your tiebreakers for the playoffs. But yeah, I think just for the mood of the team, the confidence of the team, what they're able to do defensively, the Cowboys getting into a rhythm on offense, being able to, actually score. You guys mentioned Brandon Aubrey. That's great, but you don't want your kicker on pace to break the NFL record for field goals made, which is what
he's
doing.
Let's try that 71 yards.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, this will be something where this is absolutely a big game. I wouldn't say must win, but man, it feels just a step short of it.
Pretty darn big for week three. Bobby, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Cowboys insider Bobby Belt with our sister station 105.3 The Fan coming down to the fifth floor to hang out with us for a little bit. Bobby, appreciate it. We're learning a little bit more about this guy. Had his first court appearance this morning, and they brought him into the courtroom in shackles. Hands and feet. Ryan Wesley Ruth.
Got to have those three names.
This guy's name. So, yeah, if you're
going to attempt to assassinate the president, John Wilkes Booth,
Lee Harvey Oswald,
you got to have those three names.
That's right. And he was in court this morning. So we're going to learn a little bit more about him. Motive still unknown. This guy
used an AK-47.
AK-47 for a long distance shot.
And then he had a sniper, what am I thinking of here? He had a lens, a scope on top of the thing,
and he has been arrested in the past. So we've got a little bit more information. The specific motive, though, we are
trying to learn a little bit more about.
Going
to
check in now with News Nation correspondent Brian Anton. He joins us right now with more on the story. Brian, hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So let's go back to yesterday. Tell us how this all went down.
So it was about 1:30 yesterday afternoon when the Secret Service started shooting at this man who we now know is Ryan Wesley Routh. There was a Secret Service agent who spotted him, according to law enforcement, with an AK-47 and the barrel of the gun pointed through the fence line at Trump's golf course in West Palm Beach. So the Secret Service shoots at him. We don't believe he was able to get off any shots at Trump, but that's still a little bit unclear. And he takes off this gunman, Rouse, gets in a car and leaves. Thankfully, there was a witness who spotted the whole thing, was able to write down the license plate number, get that license plate number to law enforcement. They put it into a database, and there was a license plate reader about 20 miles from the golf course that picked up Rouse trying to flee the area. Deputies were able to go and stop him, arrest him, and he's now in custody. We were just in federal court here in Florida, where he's now charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and possession of a firearm with an obliterated serial number. We're expecting more charges to come, but he is a convicted felon, by the way. He has a pretty serious charge from 2022 that has to do with weapons of mass destruction. We're still trying to dig into exactly what that was. But it's still all shut down out here outside the golf course where I am, and Secret Service Director is here, and the investigation is very much ongoing.
Have they discussed a possible motive at all, or is that that's something that they just don't they have their finger on at this point?
They haven't yet. I was talking with the state attorney here in Palm Beach County, and they had the case initially before it got handed over to the feds, and he was very interested in the fact that this man, you can see on social media, is very, very pro-Ukraine. There's actually reports that he was in Ukraine, trying to help fight with the war. And the state attorney was saying that he believed that could have something to do with the motive. His extreme pro-Ukraine stance, is that a reason maybe like former President Trump? I don't know that this guy, I mean, like for when he was in court this morning, he was smiling when he came in. I mean, there's something off with the guy. I mean, even when he was arrested, we've got video of him right after the arrest sort of smiling with these odd sunglasses on. So it's definitely a strange situation.
Well, this is one of the things that I was concerned or wondering about. How is Trump handling all of this? I know this is the second attempt on his life. How has he commented, and what has he been saying?
Yeah, I mean, look, I covered the first assassination attempt. It was just 9 weeks ago in Butler, Pennsylvania. So, you can imagine it's got to be overwhelming. I mean, for example, Don Jr., his son, was just saying this morning, I had to, explain to my kids again that someone got very close to killing their grandpa. I mean, it's alarming. He's out golfing. He's got this Secret Service protective detail. Thank goodness they seem to do a good job by spotting the guy in the fence line. But, I would imagine it's got to be overwhelming. At the same time, they're carrying on. He's got a full schedule this week. Starting tomorrow, he's going to be leaving, doing campaign stops all over the country. And, I've covered Trump for a while. He's not the kind of guy who just sort of is going to, shelter down. He's going to continue on campaigning and being out there. But for his family, it's scary.
All right, Brian, next court appearance for Mr. Anton. When is that? What's next?
Yeah, he's going to be back in court, I think it's next month. But again, they may be tacking on charges sooner than that. He's got no bond. You know, it's a federal case now, so there's no chance of him getting out right now or anything like that. And we know they're, you know, they're pinging his phone right now. They're searching the car. That, you know, he had a residence in North Carolina, where the feds are searching. He also has ties back to Hawaii, where they're questioning people. So it's all still very much evolving.
Appreciate the time, Brian. Thank you so much. Great work. Brian Enton, News Nation correspondent with us here on KRLD, talking about this latest incident, possible attempt on the life of Donald Trump. Second time in 2 months, Butler, Pennsylvania, back in July, and now this one at his golf course in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Well, you know that they're going to be definitely digging in his background, and that's the thing that I would caution everybody. I know you're looking through things, and everyone says this is why he did it, and that's why he did it. The only thing we know for certain is that he was a very big fan of Ukraine. And he wanted a lot of people to come and help him out with that, and I guess he wasn't getting the support that he...
Apparently very passionate about that. There are reports he voted for Trump in 2016. Don't know about 2020, but something obviously changed.
Well, I think the best statement that guy said was, there's something off about this guy.
Yeah, something off about him.
It's kind of Captain Obvious, but hey, all right.
Elon Musk is in a little bit of trouble. He posted on X... during the backlash following this, it's a post questioning why there have been no assassination attempts on Joe Biden or Kamala Harris.
What, is that even it out? Look, if we got two here, we need at least two over here.
So that that post has now been deleted, but he's taking a lot of heat for that.
Well, let me tell you this, and this is one of the things that I hope we don't do as a nation is get callous to this, because I was telling you, I was watching the football games, and I barely saw any tickers on this, nothing at all. I looked at the local news. It was, former President Trump, second assassination attempt. But those Cowboys, whoa!
Well, that's the thing. The first time, it was in July. Nothing was going on.
Well, that might be true.
And,
but,
and then now it happens on a Sunday in September.
And that's crazy. He is a former president and presidential candidate.
I
understand it.
So it apparently only merited a crawl this time.
Yeah, that's right.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
Richardson, where we've been following this police chase off the feeder road at 75 near Mid Park. There is a lot of police on the scene, and we're getting word that it's the end of a police chase and an apparent shooting. We've got the video from the scene, and a Richardson police SUV has a flat tire, several people into an ambulance. It's still a very active scene. It's causing a big traffic mess as well. Julian has the latest on that coming up at 5:08. We're working to get more details for you. Keep it right here at KRLD.
Well, the governor says a gang out of Venezuela has become one of the most dangerous in the world, and Texas needs to take action to stop them from destabilizing our state and the rest of the country.
Governor Greg Abbott says the gang TDA is becoming a bigger threat to Texas and the rest of the country.
I am officially declaring TDA a foreign terrorist organization.
He says that'll let the Department of Public Safety work with federal agencies at 9 anti-gang centers in Texas to stop the group's influence here.
They were involved in the brutal attack and assault upon New York police officers. Reports have also linked TDA to the murder of Lincoln Riley. Intelligence reports show TDA has been given the green light to shoot law enforcement officers in the United States.
Texas Department of Public Safety Director Steve McCraw says this gang will even push out others to gain traction in a certain area.
Then they quickly expand and multiply. There is no limit to what those criminal activities are. It's just all about profit.
He says that activity could include kidnappings and human and drug trafficking. From the 24-Hour News Center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KULD.
Still a few months away from the election, but the people that count the ballots are getting ready now. Tarrant County Elections lets people cast some sample ballots today. And the administrator, Kurt Ludwig, said you can compare computer results with a hand recount.
This is just to help give them the peace of mind, a little bit of understanding, answer some questions so they feel comfortable going out to the polls, casting their vote, knowing that the elections department and all of the people that it takes to do this are here to make sure that that vote counts and is counted correctly.
He even urged people to try and game the system to show they'd get caught. Some of the people that went in said it helps to prove that we've got safe elections. One poll worker says it helps them answer questions when people come to vote as well.
Well, we're learning more about a situation out of Denton that has some people a little concerned.
UNT police say someone took improper pictures of people on campus and posted them to a lewd website. The investigation began after police learned about the pictures September 1st. Since then, several potential victims in the photos have come forward. According to the Dallas Observer, the photos were taken at the Pohl Recreation Center and feature women working out. Although the online account has been deactivated, the images are still searchable. UNT officials are advising students to stay vigilant and report any concerning behavior to campus police. From the 24-Hour News Center, John Little, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Southeast of Houston, there's a huge pipeline fire. It's been shooting massive flames up in the air in LaPorte. One guy rushed to his home. He says he never got an evacuation notice, only found out what happened through a friend.
We have pipelines all over. So it's, you can never say your home is always going to be 100% safe.
His wife and daughter are safe, so are his dogs, but he doesn't know what happened to his cat. He says he hopes the house stays intact. Hundreds of homes evacuated because of the fire.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.